This is an AMI podcast.
Hey guys, welcome along to another episode of Double Tap. It's Monday, it's the 15th of April, 2024. Coming up today, more of your feedback and some interesting headlines from over the weekend.
You're listening to Double Tap, your daily accessible technology show. Now, here's your hosts, Stephen Scott and Sean Preece.
Hey, Sean Preece, how are you doing today?
I am glorious. Thank you, Stephen Scott. Happy Monday to you.
Oh, happy Monday. I started getting the sore throat on Saturday. Then on Sunday, I was starting to get a bit sniffly and felt a bit rubbish.
Yeah.
And today, I feel a little bit better. So,
yeah. Well, the main thing is you don't go on and on about it. I mean, you know, that's important there. Oh, wow.
It could be the cold. It could be
the flu. I've got the flu.
Could be COVID. Could be the bird flu. It could be any disease you can think of from the 1920s. Till today.
Yes, when you were born, of course, yes.
That's right, yes.
It seems to be the time of year. I don't know what it is. As soon as it starts feeling a little bit warmer, everyone seems to get ill. My entire house is full of coughs and sneezes at the minute. I'm staying in the shed.
Yeah, I'm staying in here. I don't want my wife catching this. So, you know, it's one of these, everyone's trying to keep away from each other. And actually, it's not that difficult, actually. I find that part okay. I'm like, yeah, you know, this means I can stay further away from people. I don't need to leave the house. I love it.
It's like lockdown all over again. It's like, actually, I didn't find much difference in my life.
It's so funny when you talk to disabled people, right? And people say, oh my goodness, the lockdown. Oh, the lockdown, it was terrible. And a lot of disabled people say, welcome to our world. This was every day. This was it. This is what we do every day. You know, not by choice. For many, many people. Of course, look, I said at the top, you know, headlines from the weekend. Yes, I know there were many headlines over the weekend we would probably rather forget.
Yes.
And we're certainly not going to be getting into all that world or here on Double Tap because, first off, you know, what do we know? And secondly, this is your place to come and get away from the world a little bit. And I want to pick up on a story that I've just found from The Guardian, which I found kind of amusing. This is something that I think you will love. And I'm going to try and get this guy on. Or this lady, I don't know if guy or lady, I don't know who wrote this, but essentially someone, a reporter for The Guardian, technology section of The Guardian, who went along to an AI burger joint. This sounds like something you would love.
Yes, absolutely. And what could possibly go wrong?
Cali Express by Flippy is the name of the restaurant that claims to be the world's first fully autonomous Flippy. Yeah, world's first autonomous, fully autonomous restaurant using a system of AI-powered robots to churn out fast food burgers and fries. A small number of humans are still required to push the buttons on the machines because, you know, robots can only do so much, and assemble the burgers and toppings. But the companies involved tout that using their technology could cut labor costs, perhaps dramatically eat the future they offer. This is also important to say this. This was also on the day that the reporter went along to this restaurant. It was April 1st, the same day that California's new $20 hourly minimum wage for fast food workers went into effect. Now, this has been a really interesting and contentious issue because on one hand, everyone wants to get paid more, and rightly so, get paid what they're worth, and especially if we're honest in the food sector in America, as anybody who's been to an American restaurant will know, you know, people who work there do not get paid much at all, and they live mostly on tips.
Yeah,
which I often think is just ridiculous. But now they've put the price up or put the wage up to $20 an hour. Companies looking for ways to get rid of staff.
Yeah,
and this is a way to do it potentially. So this is tricky. It's tricky.
It's not tricky at all. And this is a terrible idea. And I don't quite understand it because what is the AI and robots doing? So they still need the humans there. Firstly, to monitor it, so you know it's not catching fire, but secondly, to assemble and distribute the burgers.
So yeah, they're saying that the part of it, the cooking, is mainly what the AI is doing.
It's got a cooker in it, basically. I mean,
and it's got the essentially Apple Pay because you know in this case the journalist, I should say, was asked to pay with their face. something like I would say. I think they've stolen my idea here. pay with your face, and then you could go and sit down, and essentially the restaurant would make the meal. I guess a human would bring it over to you. It seems a bit early days, but yeah. I mean, it's an interesting idea, but basically the whole point of this is to get rid of staff. That's the whole point, that eventually the robots could take over this role. I mean, it's not a huge leap to imagine that they can, you know, put a burger on a bun at some point. I mean, you know, we've already got that in mass manufacturing already to some degree. So
yeah, and the argument,
why couldn't that come to a restaurant?
Is that it would need less staff in there to monitor it or supervise that technology.
Right.
Maybe one or two people could supervise where you would need a team of 20 before. And of course, this is the ongoing argument with AI and the impact on labour, right? And it's a discussion that needs to be had. But there's also the counter argument that how many people actually want to do that job and would actually work in a different sector. I don't know how I feel about it, but I think we need to acknowledge that there's definitely going to be an impact and there's going to be jobs lost.
Yeah, and look, it might seem ridiculous at the moment, and it certainly does to some degree. I mean, this doesn't seem like, you know, a long-term solution for this particular business, but the whole point of this isn't really about developing a business that would go mainstream, that everyone would be franchising at this stage. This is showing you what is possible, what the potential is. And it seems that potential is growing year on year. That potential is getting bigger. You look at something like this today and you go, yeah, but you know, you still need humans. Yes, but you need less humans. That's the point.
Yes, absolutely. Significantly.
And what's going to happen
less
to all these people? What's going to happen to everybody in the future when there's no jobs? This is what I don't understand. How are we going to possibly survive? And what are we going to survive on? I mean, I know people talk about universal basic income and all of this, but And that sounds like the simplest idea, but that relies on the businesses ponying up and spending the money, you know, essentially giving the tax over to be able to pay everyone's universal basic income. And some of these companies don't pay tax as it is. So
it's just a complete change of our capitalist system. I don't know how that would even work. I can't even imagine. But I mean, another argument is that we always have these discussions whenever a new technology comes in. There's always a shift in the labour market and what jobs people do. Maybe, you know, I've heard the trouble is you hear so many clips all over the place, you know, and it's so easy to take a soundbite which sounds absolutely ridiculous. Some sound harsh, you know. I heard an American senator say, you know, well, why should these people get $20 an hour? The job just isn't that difficult. It's not worth it. And you think, how could you possibly think that?
Well, I don't think being a senator is that difficult, so there.
Well, that was exactly the point that's kind of being made. You know, compare that to a nurse, to a doctor, to a firefighter, or whatever it may be. Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely it's worrying times, but there always are these sort of discussions when a new technology comes in.
Possibly the funniest story I heard over the weekend was a robot that was working on moving materials from one place to another, and it actually collapsed. The robot collapsed, and I thought, what does this tell you? Yeah, even the robots are getting tired. That's not a good look either. I mean, maybe that is the story that will save humanity. That will save our jobs, because, you know, they'll look at these robots and say, these things are useless. Get the humans back in, and that'll be it. Problem solved. Look, the other story of the weekend, which I guess end of the week, turn of the weekend, was the reviews started coming in late last week about the Humane AI Pin. And how can I say this delicately? They
you
weren't
can.
Great.
That is very delicate. They were brutal. Yes.
Well, yes. One in particular was very brutal. I think you can agree there. That was Marques Brownlee, who said it was the worst product he'd ever reviewed for now. That was the title of his YouTube video. He has, just to give you some context around this, he has around 18 million people subscribing to his channel, kind of similar to what we get on YouTube.
Yeah, catching up.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he'll get there eventually with us. I mean, I think we're on 20, or is it 20 people?
20 people.
Or 20 million. I always get mixed up.
Doesn't matter.
Numbers. Exactly. So who cares? We can just
all the
say
same.
Anything. Exactly. It's all views, right? So, basically he came up with this video and said that it was a terrible thing. A lot of people going after Marques on this, saying, you know, someone with his following, he should be a little bit more considerate. when going after these kind of companies, saying things about these products, because it could have an impact on the future of a product like this. Where do you stand on that? Do you think he should be honest, or do you think he should be conscious of his words? It's a difficult
his responsibility. No, yeah. I think you've got to be honest. You need to be, because otherwise people won't trust what you say. If people are going to YouTube or whatever channel it may be, if they're going somewhere to get advice on whether they should purchase something, then that source needs to be reliable. It needs to be honest. It's no good saying, I can't sort of give any negatives about this device because it may harm the sales and therefore harm the developer behind it, the company behind it, because that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to your listeners or viewers. As long as you're balanced and as long as you're not overly biased against it, you need to be honest, don't you? I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. I think honesty is the key. I mean, look, he's always been pretty much, I think, since, and I haven't followed him as long as some, but, you know, from what I've seen, every review he does, you really believe what he's saying, because he doesn't go for the corporate line. He talks the truth from his perspective. He admits, this is my opinion. This is what I think. And I stand for that. I think that's absolutely right. And if someone wants to disagree with him, disagree with him, but disagree with him on the points. Don't just say he's wrong. I think this has become such a lazy point of argument these days. Oh, I just don't like what he says, so shut him up, or don't say these things. And it's like, actually, no, guys, come on. Look, we can have more than one opinion, and we can surely be able to take that opinion. And if you're seriously going to spend $700 on the Humane AI pin, yes, you may well want to look at these reviews, but I would be the kind of person who would say, and I am the kind of person who would say, you know what? Okay, that's his view, but let me try it for myself. And then if I try it and feel the same way as him, great. If I don't, great. It doesn't matter, right? The point is, it's down to the individual to, you know, if you're saying that the 18 million people who are subscribing to his channel are sheep, essentially, they are just sheep who will just go with whatever he says, it doesn't say much about our society, does it?
I don't know.
I don't believe people are sheep. I just don't believe that. I think people have their own minds and they can make up their own minds. Goodness, we talk about products all the time. We've talked down products. We've talked up products where we need to. We're honest with people about it. I know our audience is intelligent. I mean, look at the inbox we have. It is just filled with incredible intelligence, way more intelligence
more than us.
It appears on air. Exactly. Yeah. Not us.
No. But I think if you subscribe to a particular channel or listen to a particular podcast or whatever it is, it's because you tend to have almost, you're like-minded. I think that's fair to say, isn't it? Of course, you can have disagreements there.
It's different with news. It's different to like the news, though. Like if you know, some people say, "Well, I'm a Fox News or I'm an MSNBC." Oh. It's kind of different. It's different to that, I think, because with tech, it does come from a fairly innocent place at the beginning. No one's going, "This must be a terrible product."
No.
As soon as you open the, you know, it's like I've decided that Google are terrible and Apple are brilliant. That's not how this works. I think there's a level playing field. You start from that. At least you should. Some people I know that obviously there are Apple fanboys and fangirls, and there are Google fanboys and fangirls who will, you know, stick to their side. I suppose that's true. But I think most of us, certainly I do, come at this from so let's see what this thing does. Let's see what the capability of this thing is. You know, I always get hit on because I'm an Apple fanboy and they say, oh, you know, you'll never talk up Google. It's not that I don't talk up Google. I just don't use Google. But there are many things on Google Android phones I wish I had. I wish I could. I wish I'd started with Android sometimes. I really do. But I didn't.
Yeah.
So this is where I'm at.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think, though, that I think some of the criticisms against Marquez actually are unfounded. I think people are looking at that title. I think maybe that was the problem.
But yeah, watch the video.
Yeah, watch the video, because he's very balanced in it. And that "for now" at the end is very important. A lot of people are just picking up on, this is the worst product I've ever tested or reviewed. But that "for now" makes all the difference, because he's saying, I can see the potential here. I can see the concept. Right now, Gen Zero, it's not working as it should. But for now, this is bad. But in the future, this could be great. And he goes on to say about how a few occasions, admittedly rare occasions, when it actually worked as people expect it to work, he totally got it and understood, wow, this is actually quite exciting. But because that wasn't happening very often, he gave the opinion that this just doesn't work as people want it to right now. But I watched the whole thing. I thought it was very good.
Yeah, I think an interesting and as balanced as he could make it, I think, considering everything he
gave some good
about.
Points. You know, it's slow to respond. So why wouldn't you just pull out your smartphone in that 5-10 seconds you're waiting for it to respond to you? You could pull out your smartphone and do it quicker. Some of the battery issues, whatever else. It's definitely worth a watch, though, if you're interested in it. But he's not the only one. Every review I've seen so far have been less than glowing.
Well, that's right. It's not exactly. He's the one that's getting a lot of the headlines because of his following, but you're absolutely right. There are many reviews out there that are not in any way kind to the AI pin. What do you think this is about? Do you think it's because the device costs $700? We're maybe looking at it a little bit more deeply than, say, Pi on the iPhone or Android, right? Because you think about Pi, which is giving you the AI access. In my mind, that is giving you a very similar experience. Okay, I know it's not the same, but it's a similar experience to what you would get with the pin, right? So are we just attributing cost value to this? So we're saying, well, that costs money, so therefore I expect it to be better?
Yes, of course we are. I mean, that is a factor, the price point of it. And it's not just the initial outlay of $700. You've also got a monthly subscription of $24 for your mobile connection. So it's an ongoing thing. But actually, I don't think that matters. If it worked as promised, I think that's fair to say, going off the videos and marketing, there is an argument that people were expecting too much, but I don't actually go with that. I think we were expecting what was talked about and what was promised by the developer. So even if it was, $10, this thing, if it doesn't work as expected and you're waiting a long time and because of that it's laggy and because of that you don't end up using it, it is quicker to use your existing technology, then it's going to fail. And I don't think it matters about the price. The price is an aspect to it, but the smartphone still wins out.
Yeah, I think you're right. I also think that one of the biggest issues here is that the device, the AI pin, still reaches out to the cloud for the answers to the question. And I think that is what slows everything down. And
for people
like Marquez and people who are not used to text-to-speech in the way that we are, we're kind of used to, waiting for an answer from Lady A or Siri or whatever it might be. I don't think most people are used to that. They're wanting that quick response. They want that fast response. In a way, this is what kind of in a strange way makes this technology better for us. You know, as much as you might say, well, it's an annoyance at the moment, the fact that someone like Marquez Brownlee brings up the fact, well, these responses are too slow. This needs to be better. That voice is too verbose. It's giving us too much information. He makes point on that. You know, with those kind of comments, those are actually really useful comments for us because that allows for this, essentially for the corners to be rounded on this kind of device in a way that will work for everybody, but actually will really work for us. Because I think this is one thing, and I saw this when the Amazon Echo came out. There was a massive shift in the way that we could communicate with other people about this device in a way we couldn't communicate about, say, our iPhone with VoiceOver or our Android phone with TalkBack with another sighted person. So
let's talk
about training, right? If you said to someone who just got an Amazon Echo, you sat down with it and someone said, well, what can I ask it? The question that a sighted person would ask the device was the same question I would ask it or you would ask it. And that's the difference, I think, with AI and what this new interface is going to be like. It is going to really level everything because there's no separation. There's no specialist nature to the information we're getting back. I mean, you could say maybe there's a level of verbosity you could increase, say, for example, in description. That might be, we might maybe want more description than someone who is fully sighted, who can see it. I mean, I don't really know how that benefits
arguably,
people.
Arguably, that would be a mainstream preference as well, right? You're absolutely
I don't really know why someone who's fully sighted would be looking at something and saying, what is that? I mean, I understand if you're looking at a building and you want to know what the building is and get historical information, but there's a big difference between that question, and this is where the sort of fork appears in the road, because for a sighted person it's about, tell me the history of this building, tell me how far back it dates, tell me about the person who built it, whatever it might be. For us, where's the door? That's the question. Where's the door? Yes. How can
but
I get
it shouldn't
in?
Matter. I mean, AI should be at a level where it doesn't matter. It can pick out those details as you request. It's all about how you put the question, I suppose. But no, I think you're right. You know, a UI that's a common UI is the goal, because it makes accessibility less of an issue. But when he's talking about response time, the thing that worries me slightly is he mentioned that, you know, those rare occurrences where it worked and he thought, this is good. This is the, I can get into this concept, this experience. It makes sense to me. I just wonder, with the reviews from this first round, is Humane going to get a chance to evolve this? Again, going back to his title of For Now, that's it's going to the point that this could be fixed in software. When the servers get, you know, when there's more servers, more power behind it, faster connections, that response time is more responsive, then, hey, this that could make a huge difference. But seeing as the reviews have been so bad, is Humane even going to get the chance, or is it just going to die now?
I think we expect a lot more from first generation devices than we ever did. And I think it's a little bit unfair on Humane sometimes, especially at this point, because, you know, I think about the iPhone launching. All the iPhone did, let's be honest, was increase the experience available on other devices, enhance the experience available on other devices. You could still go on the internet with a BlackBerry. You could still send email on a BlackBerry. You could make calls. You could do all the things you could do with an iPhone, but the iPhone just made it feel a little bit more sexy, a bit more capable. Oh, full screen internet. Wow. You know, that kind of thing. That was the first. That was the promise, essentially, and it worked. But
it
we didn't have anything else to... What?
It improved.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. It improved.
You're right.
Yeah. But it made that experience better, and it worked. But we didn't have much expectation beyond that. We certainly didn't imagine an app store world. We didn't imagine a world where we'd be doing our banking on a device like that. We didn't imagine all that. Whereas now it's the opposite way around. Hang on, I can't use Uber on this. I can't connect to Just Eat or Uber Eats or whatever else. You know,
we didn't even imagine accessibility.
Not exactly.
The first iPhone. So yes, well, you're absolutely
it, remember?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I'll never be able to use it until, actually, here's a way. And yeah, you're right. We can compare it with so many different things right now, and that is an issue. But, I mean, Humane are aware of this. I think if it performs so badly, I think it was a mistake to release it. It's got to come back on them. Simple as that. They know how it's performing. And unless they can flick a switch and double the power behind it in the cloud, then it's still going to perform bad. It's not like they released it and said, oh, well, it was working fine when we had it. No, they made the decision to, let's just try and see if people will still go for early adopters, you know, the tech heads out there that don't mind tinkering with this and just for the joy of having something new. I think it's bitten them on the bum, to be honest.
Well, how do we get around this, though? I mean, is it surely needs to be done on device. This is where Apple is going to come in, I think. This is where they're going to change the discussion on this whole thing. And, you know, it's I've said this before, whatever comes out in, and hopefully in June, on June 10th, when WWDC comes along, the world is watching this one for good reason, because this is really the opportunity for Apple to really plant their flag in this AI arena. And I think if they can get everything running on device and not in the cloud, I mean, obviously privacy and security are always at the heart of what Apple does, to sometimes their own detriment. And I think if they can get this working, and I don't see why they wouldn't, I mean, you know, this is one thing that has been almost lying dormant in our iPhones for a long time. It's used for some purposes, I guess, but the kind of processing technology required for AI to really function properly on a local device is already in our devices. You know, we were talking the other day about the Snapdragon Elite processors that are going to go into PCs next year or this year. And that's interesting because, of course, that's great to hear about, and it's great to hear that this kind of technology is going to exist. But, you know, it's already in our iPhones. It's already here. So,
well, you say that. I hope so. I wouldn't be surprised if there was... This AI experience only works on iPhone 16 or this processor and above, like we had with Siri back in the day.
Let's hope that's not the case. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me whatsoever, but you're absolutely right. That is the difference there. On-device processing and Apple are focusing on making their AI system lightweight. And that's the whole that was the whole press release, really, on Realm. Was that, you know, compared to OpenAI, an on-device, a lightweight, smaller system can sometimes outperform. So, yeah, absolutely. For privacy and security, it's going to be cool.
I'm just wanting an excuse to use the word agog on air. I just want to be agog.
Where did that
That's
come
what
from?
I want. You know, remember that, you know, you used it on a few shows. You know, I don't know what that word means, but my thinking is that word means shocked, stunned with amazement.
Okay,
I am agog.
No, I'll go with that. It was just a very random thing to come out with. That's
I want to use that word more.
Okay.
And I feel that we haven't had reason to.
Let's make that happen. I want my flabbergasted. That's what I want. Yeah. So
you're flabbergasted and I am agog.
There's our Tinder names. WWDC is going to be so exciting. And look, talking about that, Gen Zero products. The Apple Watch wasn't great on its first release, right? But it's evolved into something. Still, you could argue, well, what's the use case for it on its own? But I would love to see an Apple Watch with a camera, and more than that, an Apple Watch where you could decide whether you want to put straps on it and wear it on your wrist, or stick a clasp on it and wear it on your lapel.
Apple Pin.
The Apple Pip. Yeah, that would be cool.
Apple Pip. There you go.
So has that been used already? I can't remember.
Oh, probably. There's only 7 ideas in the world and everyone's done them. Okay, look, we'll park that there because, I mean, we could talk about this all day. And, of course, we haven't even touched on the Rabbit R1. We're going to be having a conversation with our good friend Robin Christofferson over on YouTube in the coming days on this new product. Very interesting, the Rabbit R1, which is kind of similar to the Humane AI Pin, but it goes one step further. And Robin has some very interesting views on why he thinks this particular device may be partly of more interest to us as disabled people, but also because of the price point as well. So we'll get into all that on YouTube soon. But anyway, stick around. We're going to get to your emails next and a purchase that I have made over the weekend. Mm.
Follow Double Tap on social media at Double Tap On Air and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts and email us feedback@doubletaponair.com. We'll be right back. Call the Double Tappers now, 1-877-803-4567, or email us feedback@doubletaponair.com.
Hey, Double Tappers, it's Callum. Just wanted to comment on a couple of things from last week's shows. Got a quick question for Sean. You mentioned that your voice Vista is reading out your speed every now and again. And yeah, mine's doing this as well. So I think I saw in the settings somewhere that it's every 100 meters by default. It will give you your current, well, mine at least, gives me my GPS accuracy, the direction that I'm traveling in, and current speed. But mine reads out in kilometers per hour. But you gave your speed in miles per hour. Is yours reading out in miles per hour? In which case, do you know how you got it to do that? Because I would prefer that. Mine's reading out in... So my top speed, if we're getting into this, has been so far is 4 kilometers per hour, which according to Lady A is about 2.5 miles per hour. But I'm the same as you. I heard Voice Vista doing this. And then my instant thought was, when I heard my speed, I instantly started speeding up. I was like, I bet I can top that.
Me too.
It's become a little bit of fun now when I'm on my way to and from work, trying to beat my speed. And also, Stephen, you mentioned you were thinking of buying one of the one-cup water dispensers. I've got a bit of... Maybe this is just me. Maybe this is me just being a bit weird, but I've got something that might sell you on this. So what I've done with mine is put a smart plug on it. So what I do is turn the smart plug off, but press the kettle on and then put a cup underneath it put your tea bag in, or your coffee, I guess, if you want to. And then when you want your cup of tea or a coffee or a brew, when you want a brew, to use a very British term, just tell Lady A to turn on the kettle. Give that a couple of minutes, you know, let it do its thing. And then when you're ready for it, just go into the kitchen and there you go, cup of tea waiting for you. All you got to do then, obviously, is just take your tea bag out, put your milk in, if you have milk, and then there you go, job done. You've got yourself a smart kettle for a fraction of the, like, $100-odd dollars that they charge for these. I love doing that. I've got mine like that. I've had mine like that for a couple of years, and my wife still laughs at me, because first thing in the morning, my alarm will go off. I will tell Lady S, in my case, on the watch, to turn on the kettle. And then a couple of minutes later, I'll get up and go downstairs, get my cup of tea that's waiting for me. I'm well aware that in a lot of ways it's pointless, but I can't get up and start the day without a cup of tea. So for me, that just makes getting up that little bit easier. The only thing you've got to be careful of, though, is that there's no sensor on these, certainly not on the one that I've got now and the ones that I've had previously. There's no sensor to detect whether there's a cup underneath it or not. So make absolutely sure that there's a cup under it before you leave it, because if there isn't, it will just pour water everywhere. And
yes,
that is not what you need first thing in the morning.
No.
So yeah, a little bit of a useless thing from me there, to be honest. But yeah, maybe someone else will like that. And I just thought I'd chuck that in there, seeing as you were thinking of buying one. But yeah, keep up the good show. Love the podcast, love what you guys do. And yeah, keep it up, and I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you, Callum. Appreciate that comment. And I've got to tell you,
what Stephen bought this week?
Yes.
Oh, a smart plug.
Oh, no, I've got a few of those. No, I did actually go out and get one of these machines at the weekend. And I say go out and go. I mean, who's kidding? Who? I ordered it online and it arrived.
The buy now button.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So the one I got was from a company called Cook's Essential. I got it from Amazon, but it was a Cook's Essential, which you were telling me earlier you thought was a
QVC.
QVC brand?
Yeah, I bought a Cook's Essential air fryer from QVC. It was very, very good. Yeah.
Yeah, so this one, it was quite expensive. It was £70, which is 150 million Canadian dollars.
Yes.
And you can look that up. It's absolutely correct. And there was an alternative from a company called Breville. They had one called the One Cup, which was £40. That's $120 million. And can you tell I didn't do the conversion?
Those numbers may not be accurate. Let's just say that. Yes. I couldn't find it on Amazon CA.
In case he's listening.
Yeah.
But look, I've tried to find these products in Canada. I can't seem to find anything that kind of even matches it. There do seem to be ones that are, I would say, much larger, almost more like tea urns than this kind of One Cup, which is more for, I would say, occasional use. You know, so they generally have tanks in them, and this is why I chose the Cook's Essential one for a good reason, because the tank in it is 2.5 litres, which is a really good tank size. It means you're not filling it up all the time. You get probably about, I'm trying to work it out, I think I've got about 12 cups out of it, 10 cups out of it, something like that.
Is that
so
all?
That's not bad.
That's mid-morning.
You drink a lot of tea. I don't drink a lot of tea.
I don't drink a lot of tea, but I make a lot of tea for my partner who drinks an incredible amount of tea, I'll be honest with you. But,
my mother couldn't use this thing. This would be nothing. This would be a morning. It's been an hour for her. She'd have to fill this up every hour. My mother, I should mainline it into her arm. I mean, tea is just a thing. She just loves tea. But anyway, so got this thing. And the reason I went for it over the Breville was because of that tank. However, one of the things, and this you've picked up on this, Callum, one of the benefits of these One Cup type machines is that you're boiling the water only for the cup of tea you're making. So, you know, you're not having to boil a kettle fully in order to use it for one cup and then have to boil the kettle again and again and again. You're just only boiling the water you need, which is
cheaper
really
cool. Electricity bills. Yes, I'm all for
exactly,
it.
Exactly, right? So good for everybody. Good for the planet, good for everybody. But here's the thing. The Breville one I had years ago, which sadly died a horrible death. It had an auto shut off.
I want more details on how it died now.
It's a long story, and I'm not going to get to
another day. Okay.
Let's just say it was a bit too close to the sink, and it fell one day. Okay. And everyone survived. That's the main thing.
Yes, except for the Breville. Yes.
Except for the Breville. It was sadly died. But it's a very sad day. We buried it out the back of the garden. It was a very delicate day. Then since was told you shouldn't bury plastics into the
Moving on.
So, the device, you know, the Breville had the shut off, right, which was great. And like you say, Callum, you could set it up in the smart plug. You could push the button down. In the morning, you start up the thing. It will put the water into the cup and then stop. But the new Cook's Essential one I've got, I find, doesn't have an auto shut off. So it just keeps pouring and pouring and pouring. It's like Finding Dory. Just keep pouring.
Until when?
Until
it runs out of water?
Tank is run out. Yeah, I guess.
Well, I'm assuming you can turn it off. You need to press the button again to stop it.
It's a rocker switch. So, you push one side down to turn it on, and then you push it again on the other side to turn it off. So it's quite simple. And there's nothing more to it than that. It also, I'd say, has... the Breville, the water came out much faster. You know, it just poof, right out. Here was the water. There you go. And it was done and dusted in a few seconds. Whereas with this one, it kind of dribbles the water into the cup.
It's it's
takes
terrible.
Its time.
Send it
thinks
back.
About it. But I do quite like the lack of the auto shut off. Because the one thing I didn't like about the other one was that if you chose a larger mug, for example, I'm talking like Tim Hortons cup, mug style here.
Your favourite, yes.
Yes. Then, somebody wasn't going to fill it. That was the problem. And you found it difficult because if you were to ask it to put the water in again, so you essentially put it on another cycle to boil another cup, it would then overflow because it would put too much in.
Too much.
So this one's different because this one, what I do is I put the liquid level indicator in it, in the cup, that is, and then when I'm filling up the cup, I get a notification when it's... when it's filling up. So, kind of works for me. I actually quite like
notification
it.
Notification on
like
your it. Phone. That's clever.
No, when the thing goes beep, 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 beep.
You might as well use an old kettle at that point. Do you know what I assumed? I assumed you could set the amount of water during your initial setup. You could set the amount of water it would dispense. I don't know how, but I just assumed that's how it works.
It could do with some... This is one thing that could really do with a bit more smart technology in it. You know, because honestly, I mean, not everybody uses the same size of mug.
Nope.
I don't know about you. My mugs are a combination of things.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right.
It's not
espresso
like one
cups,
size.
Pint pots for Sarah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you want to make sure you're filling that up. And that's kind of what I like about this. You've got a little bit of customization. You can choose. You don't have to worry about what mug you're using. As long as, in our case, we use a liquid level indicator with it, you'll be fine. Of course, it takes less time for me because I've already got the milk in there. I've got the tea bag in there already. Maybe
doing
even a
wrong.
Sugar cube. And then it's all sitting there. Yeah, a sugar cube. And then that all goes in. And then I add the water. So, my cup is half full before I even start making a cup of tea. But no,
okay.
I quite like it. I do quite like it. But in my case, I do take your point, Callum, but it wouldn't work for me because... if I put a smart plug on it, I could absolutely have it set up to go off in the morning, but then I would wake up and it would have filled the cup and indeed the entire kitchen full of water. So
hang on a minute. Don't give Callum a pass here. This takes, 10 seconds to do in the morning anyway. If you did it manually, you're saving yourself 10 seconds by setting it up with a smart plug. I mean, I'm all for it, obviously, as a geeky
Callum's
nerd.
Callum's professional, though. He's not got time to hang around making cups
of
tea
true.
All day.
Yes, that is very true. A very busy professional. But 10 seconds. Wow. Okay, but cool. I like it. Well done.
Thank you, Callum. Let's get an email
from... Wait, sorry. Voice Vista.
Oh, yes. Goodness, and yes. That's right.
I totally agree with you, Callum, by the way. It makes you... That's the first thing I thought. Oh, 1 mile an hour. I can beat that. I started speeding up immediately. And now I set up a practice lap before trying to get my best speed. I'm not entirely sure where that setting is, but I mean specifically for the speed. But the only thing I can think of, if you go to settings in Voice Vista and then go to general and double tap on there, the very first item is units of measure. And mine is set to imperial feet. And that's the only thing I think I've changed. So I'm guessing it's because of that one. So give that a try.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Okay, let's move on because we want to get to some other emails today. This one from Camille, as read by Laura.
Sean, can you tell us why you chose the Arcanite fingerprint reader? I'm having a difficult time getting it to recognise my fingerprint. I had no problem setting it up, but it rarely seems to work when I attempt to use it to log in. I added a second finger, but the result was the same. Your finger cannot be recognised. I'm not impressed. Happy tapping, Camille.
He's not impressed. He's not impressed, Sean.
I'm not impressed. Happy tapping. That was such a change in tone. I am so sorry, Camille. Genuinely, I'm sorry it's not working for you.
So I chose... should. It's a disgrace.
No, I am. I don't like it when it doesn't work as it should. The Arcanite I chose, as you could probably guess, because it was the cheapest one I could find. Yes. And it worked perfectly for me. I was so impressed with it. It's so easy to use. Simply plug it in. It's plug and play, so there's no drivers or software to install. Windows sorts it all out. I then just opened the start menu, typed in fingerprint, and then I was able to add my fingerprint to the system, all accessibly. Very good. Now, when it comes down to you or a problem you're having there, though, honestly, the only things it can be that I can think of is that there's either some sort of dirt or something obstructing the scanning area on the little dongle, and it's so tiny, and I'm sure you've tried this already, just give it a bit of a clean. Or maybe there's some sort of, if you tried different fingers, I think you said, so that's probably not an issue. I had a little bit of dry skin on the end of my fingers, and that caused a couple of issues.
For goodness sake.
Sorry, a bit of eczema. I'm an old man, it's fine.
Sorry, I didn't realise this was a medical history exercise.
I'm just giving possible troubleshooting routes.
Well, yes, perhaps half your finger is still lying on it, and that's the issue.
But I personally, I think it's more probable that you've got a defective one there. I would be tempted just to send it back and get a replacement, or even try a different brand. There are lots of different models out there when it comes to these fingerprint scanners. But personally, I didn't have an issue whatsoever with this. It was very, very accurate and responsive. I'm sorry you're having problems, but I would go for a replacement maybe.
Yeah, we can also get that similar review from the border guard in Vienna, who now has access to your...
Every time. Yes, I forgot to... I don't know why I had it in my pocket. Sorry, security. That's a fingerprint scanner. I have no idea why I've got it.
Well, listen, they were looking for it for their own computer. But I think that looks quite cool. I'll have that. So, yeah. So some border guard in Vienna has it currently. So there you go. It's probably being sold. You can probably get a good deal on a used one. A Sean Preece used.
Yes. In Vienna eBay. I'm sure that's you'll find it on there somewhere.
Also known as eBay. Right, let's move on. Thank you, Camille. John's got in touch.
Hi, Stephen and Sean. I'm just wondering whether or not you've had the chance to try out the video message feature in WhatsApp. Thanks for the entertaining and informative show, and keep up the good work. Sincerely, John in British Columbia.
Thank you, John. I don't think this is a feature that's rolled out yet worldwide. I certainly haven't seen it or even heard about it, to be honest. I'm guessing this is like voice messaging, but video.
I assume so as well. Yeah, so you can send a text message or audio message, and now also a video message. I'm not going to use that much anyway, but I'm going to try it out. But I think you're right, Stephen. I have heard about this and seen it in the release notes for the WhatsApp updates in the App Store. But it does, as with all of these features, mention that this is being rolled out. And I haven't seen this option available in my current version of WhatsApp. I haven't really looked for it, to be honest, but I did, when I read the release notes, go quickly in, and I couldn't find it, but it's something I will check out.
Yeah, I can imagine how wonderful that would be for deaf people, you know, to be able to use something like that to communicate, you know, just set your phone down and you can have a conversation with someone, not even a conversation, but just send a message to someone.
A message, yeah, that's right, because you've already got the video call option there anyway, right? But just sending a video message is quite nice.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Things like this, you think, well, what's the point? But then when you hear someone talk about this and they say, oh, you know, this, my friend is deaf and they're able to communicate back and forward with me now, you know, maybe that person can read lips, or, you know, that they use sign language between,
yeah,
it kind of shows you the real value of that kind of thing. I mean, obviously, that's the mainstream are using it just to send quirky little videos to each other, but, you know, there's a huge accessibility benefit as well.
But you can already record a video, right? So I'm not entirely sure, unless it's just a more direct approach, you don't have to go to camera, then change it to video.
Well, can you imagine if we were to do audio messages every single time, we'd go to the voice memos app,
record it,
attach it. We wouldn't do it. We just wouldn't do it.
No, that's true. Yeah, you just want a quick button on the main interface to bang, I'm recording, bang, it's sent. So, yeah.
Yeah, John, thank you for that. Let's get to Scott. Speaking of people who are hearing impaired, this is an interesting email.
Hi, Stephen and Sean. Thanks to the new transcript feature in the podcast app on iOS, I read the transcripts to both Tuesday and Wednesday's shows. The transcripts were fairly accurate. You found a new listener, or in my case, sometimes reader. I was going to say feeler, since I'm exclusively a Braille user, but that just sounds creepy. Anyway, I hope Apple will create an API that developers can tap into for the transcripts so that I can hopefully go back to my podcast app of choice. Until then, thanks to a hearing impairment, Apple Podcasts fits my accessibility needs best. I wanted to share some of what I found interesting at CSUN. One of the things I found that I enjoyed was the Braille Pen 24 manufactured by Harpo. It has 24 cells of Braille inside a device roughly the size of the Focus 14, only more thin. Personally, I find 24 cells is the perfect size so that it's not too small for reading, but not so long that it can't travel easily. There is also a type of film which covers the Braille display to help prevent debris from getting inside the device. Its only drawback is that you have to take your hands completely off the display when it is refreshing, which really isn't all that refreshing at all, is it? I also checked out the Orbit Q40. I liked the design of the keys and also found I liked typing on it better than the Mantis, as the Orbit keys have a little spring to them. Speaking of Orbit research, the Optima isn't new, but they've done some refinements to it, like adding thumb keys along with changing the panning keys to something I felt was more comfortable to use when reading longer documents. Finally, I was able to check out the Celeste glasses. I found them much more comfortable to use than the Envision glasses. It's also a bit lighter on the wallet. It's an interesting concept that shows promise. I've since received my glasses and can send my specific thoughts in some other time if you have interest.
Yes.
My apologies for such a long email, but I hope you find it of value. I'm looking forward to more content. Please keep the informative entertainment coming. Cheers from Michigan, Scott.
Scott, thank you. I'm so glad you found us, and the way you've found us and found us to be accessible to you is just absolutely fantastic. So glad. I mean, again, it's like I was saying, you know, for a lot of people, the transcription is a great benefit. I often wonder what the benefit is to people who aren't deaf. Is it just so they can quickly get information or just read it? Would people do that?
I did use it the other day, actually. I found a podcast and I was looking for a specific piece, and I was able to, rather than skip through the audio, it was much quicker to skip through the various paragraphs on the transcription and then double tap, and the audio jumped directly to that place. So that was quite cool. But you're absolutely right. It would be great if there was an API from Apple that would allow other podcast apps to hook in to the transcription service, because I'm really impressed with it.
Yeah, and there are also transcripts available for our YouTube videos as well. You can get those by going to the show notes on each YouTube video. So if you're interested in catching up, Scott, with any of our YouTube content, be aware that it is fully accessible via transcript there as well. Now, to your points about the CSUN event and some of the stuff you got hands-on with, I haven't heard of some of that those devices. They sound pretty cool. But the Orbit, obviously the Orbit devices we have, very intrigued to know what this Q40 is going to feel like. So that sounds cool. Also good to hear the Optima's getting updates. I mean, I remember last year when it was first announced, they did say, look, this is very much prototype and they're listening to the community. They're really taking on board what people are saying about this, because that's what companies that, you know, that have blind people in them actually do. They listen to other blind people. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. So great to hear. And yes, on the Celeste versus Envision, I don't know if I'd say versus at this stage. I will also say, and I think this is important, because we talk so much about the Envision glasses, but it's important to say as well, there is a fantastic app which Envision has, which is free, doesn't cost anything. So if you were wanting to get the value of Envision or try Envision out, you don't need to go and buy the glasses. You can use the app. The Envision glasses are great if you can afford them, but they also will provide you a similar experience, but obviously in a wearable. But you can get the features out of the app as well. Now, as for the Celeste glasses, we do have a review coming up, and I think it's going to be coming up in the next couple of days from one of our listeners, Elijah, who has sent in quite a detailed review. We're going to air that this week, so do check that out. Scott, I'd be interested in you listening to that, or feeling that, and let us know your thoughts and see how your experience compares to Elijah's. I think that would be quite interesting. Yeah. So we'll hear that experience a little bit later. Let's get a couple of other emails. Johnny P has been in touch.
Good afternoon, Double Tap. I would like to pose a question to you both and the listeners for assistance. Like many of us, year after year, I intend to improve my health, but fall short. This year, however, I would actually like to break the endless cycle. My eventual long-term goal is to run a half marathon, although realistically, I think I should shoot for a 16th marathon. If that's not a real thing, it should be.
Yes.
I've been reading up on training for the novice, and I found one recommendation that makes a lot of sense. Basically, the system is to start off alternating from walking 5 minutes and running 30 seconds. As you improve, you would increase the running time and decrease the walking times each interchange. My question is, can anyone recommend a voiceover accessible app on the iPhone to accomplish this scheduling that will notify you at various time increments? Basically, something I can program in advance where you start the time and begin walking. At minute 5, alarm sounds, time to run. At minute 6, alarm sounds, time to walk. At minute 11, alarm sounds, time to run. At minute 12, alarm sounds, time to walk, etc. Something that could be set in advance, where the number and duration of the time segments can be adjustable, and it gives you audio feedback so it can be hands-free once you begin the session. Thanks, and as always, love the show. Laura, you're the best. Johnny P. from Michigan.
Laura is the best.
Laura, you're the best. Yes, she is.
Oh, that was lovely.
Thank you. I know. I thought we were missing some singing, so there
hang
you
on,
go.
Hang on. Do we need to pay for that?
Oh, yeah.
I'll Sorry. Check in. We'll find out.
Doesn't sound like anything out there, so no, we don't have to pay. Okay, so we're not great at fitness and health apps here at Double Tap, I think we can admit.
I think that's, yeah. Well, the last time you tried to get fit, you were off for about 6 months.
Yes.
In traction, I believe.
Stop that. But the first thing that springs to my mind is an app called One Timer that allows you to do exactly that. You can set up multiple timers in a chain and have events happen in between. So you could set up a 5 minute timer and then have a notification or something, and then it would start the next timer and so on, and rinse and repeat. So that is very cool. I haven't used it in the longest time. It's one of those apps which I saw was very, very accessible. And I thought, that's quite a nifty little app. I'll download that. I think I paid for it as well at the time. And I've never used it. I have explored and played around with it, and it can do exactly what you're talking about. At least last time I tried it. I still hope it's accessible. But that's something to look into. Now, you do need to spend a lot of time setting that up and trying to figure out your timer chains. And maybe you don't want to put that much effort into it. And there may be a better option out there in a fitness app with something like lap timers and things. But I don't know of one off the top of my head.
No, I'm not the person to ask. I will say, though, it's funny you ask this question, because I've been also wondering about this, not from a fitness perspective, although I can totally see the value there, but from doing a show like this. When you're wanting to keep an ear on time, it's great for interviews as well, because sometimes you're thinking, how long is this interview going for? So if you can set up almost intervals where you can say, tell me when I'm 5 minutes in, tell me when I'm 10 minutes in. Because sometimes when you do interviews, the person will say, look, I only have 15 minutes, or you can have this guest, but you can only have them for 15 minutes. So you want to make sure you're not going to miss the opportunity to ask the questions you want to ask. So having something that can tell you, okay, you're 10 minutes in now. You know, in the old days, I had a human being who would walk over. It's funny, we'd talk about AI and, AI taking over everything. I used to have a person come up and tap me on the shoulder. Now it's an alert on my wrist. and that's this kind of app sounds quite cool. So I might try that for what I'm doing. That would be pretty cool. But that sounds like what Johnny P's looking for. So that sounds pretty
cool. Yeah, it's just quite involved in setting it up in the first place. But if you like tinkering, definitely give it a try.
I think we've got time for one more. Let's bring in this voicemail from Renee.
Hey guys, Renee Jackson, Louisville, Kentucky. I love your podcast, all the fun you all have. And I'm calling in regard to the conversation you had about different places to visit. I've been to at least 20 some odd states. I've been to Canada two or three times. I've been to Europe. I've been to Asia. I've been to South Africa. My favorite spot is Copenhagen, Denmark. I visited there in 81. I used to do a lot of travel for Sports for the Blind, and my visit there was the most enjoyable. I spent a lot of time there in the square. They have a great big square downtown, and I spent a lot of time just sitting there, feeding the pigeons, watching people. It was just so, so comfortable and so enjoyable. My second place would have to be the mountains. I love climbing up in the mountains, sitting up on top of the mountains. Of course, my eyesight's a lot worse now than it was when I visited different places, but I would still love to go back and visit the mountains or Copenhagen. Thanks a lot, guys. Keep up the great work. Talk at you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Renee. And of course, Renee there responding to our conversation about going to various places and our, let's just say, a little bit reticence to doing it. I've got the big holiday coming up and it's going to be great. But, you know, there's always that feeling of how much will I really get out of this being blind? And there's Renee saying, look, still plenty you can get out of it. So,
room
come on,
service
Sean.
And the pool. That's all I need in life. I don't want to see sights. I don't care. I just want to see pizza and cool down in the pool. But wow, the first thing I thought of when Rene came on there was, I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere. That's really impressive.
Yeah, love it.
Johnny Cash, and, Stephen. You should know.
Oh, I see. I should have known that one.
Yeah, I was going to sing it, but I've used up our quota today.
That's right. Yeah, our quota of bad singing. Managed to achieve absolutely nothing on that. Well done. Yeah, you know what? I think we should definitely. I can almost see a travel log of you and I going to places, and you just continually saying, "Okay, this is all very well and good, but where is the chicken?
Yes,
where is the pool? And when am I going home?
Tell me what I'm stood in front of. Boring. I want room service.
We're back tomorrow with more. Maybe. We'll catch you then, Sean. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The Walrus is Canada's conversation, and you're invited to take part. Download AMI's Voices of the Walrus, where professional narrators read selected articles from the magazine. Available wherever you download your AMI podcasts.